Unity.com.
Okay. Yes, I'm Charlene Chapin. Is it down too far? Oh, can you hear me now? Like the Verizon commercial. There we go. Okay. I'm one of the Chapin clan. My late husband was a cousin of Dave Chapin sitting there, so that's kind of my connection. And then my sister-in-law, Joan, who was a Chapin, and Mark and Kim, so I brought a few extras with me. And then I have my grandsons. I call them my grandson sons because they are actually were adopted by myself and by Tom. I have Isaiah in the glasses and Harold sitting there with the blue hoodie on because he thinks he's out in the snow, I think. But they are 13 and 11. And so God brought us to this point. Sure.
How about you just keep talking and I'll mess around.
Okay. I'll try to keep talking while you mess around. There, is that better? Oh, okay. Okay. I'm not used to these microphone things. I guess first I would like to say that God is a God of miracles. Because we have a miracle in our lives. I've seen more than one miracle, but one of our biggest miracles that my family was all aware of and people were praying all over the world was Isaiah. 4 years ago, he was at Children's Hospital in Denver with acute myeloid leukemia. There was prayer all over the world for him, and he was actually prayed back a couple of times, really, from the brink of going to be with Jesus. So miracles are very real to us. But then God turns all that into good of where now we are going on a mission trip, which is, it's kind of mind-boggling. My husband and I did do different mission work. We were 7 years as a shepherding home for a pregnancy center in Colorado Springs, and we had a number of women of all ages with crisis pregnancies live with us and our family, trying to impart some of what God would have for them into their lives. We worked on Capitol Hill in Denver for 4 years with a ministry there called Providence Homes, and what we worked with was what we called families in transition. We had a small apartment building, and we had families there that were having a rough time trying to maybe get back into a good road in society. So we did what we could to help them. And then through all this, I mean, we did other little things along the way. But people ask, how did a 69-year-old grandmother, widowed grandmother, raising two grandsons, end up going to the Philippines with a 2-year commitment? And this was not something that I was planning to do. Actually, most of my life, I did two mission trips to a children's home in Uganda in the past, and I actually was thinking that at some point in my life, actually Tom and I would go back there and work. But that just didn't seem to ever fit, and God's path, you know, I like the straight A to B, know what I'm doing, but God doesn't do it that way. But last spring, along about March, I just felt like God was saying, I have more for you to do. And I was just thinking, okay, what is it that you would have more of? And, you know, a lot of people have told me, you're retired, you're a grandmother, you're raising two grandsons, that's enough. But, you know, God does wondrous things. Just about that time, I was looking on Facebook. Pastor Jack and Tammy Fairweather are pastoring and started Arise Children's Home in the Philippines in 2009. We knew them from the Littleton Vineyard when we were living in Colorado. And Tammy posted just a kind of a plea out there that they were going to be starting a school at their children's home. And if anyone would want to pray about coming to teach, they would love to have, you know, some missionary teachers come there. So I just felt God kind of piercing my heart about it, and I contacted her, and she said, why don't you come and see what we're about and see if we're all a good fit before you make that big of a move. So end of July, 1st of August, the boys and I went to Philippines. We're going to the island, it's Oriental Mindoro in the city of Calapan. We went and stayed 2 weeks so that we could learn as much as we could about the Philippine culture and the children's home there, meeting the children, and I'll have some pictures in a minute of the children that that are there. And I just felt like God was saying that I was going to go back. And one of my biggest challenges is the climate there. It's they don't have winter, summer. They have dry and wet. And even dry is wet to me, and hot and humid. I would say it doesn't vary. It's between probably 70 and 90 year-round, with probably at least 95% humidity, which really kills me. So I'm expecting God to do good things and let my body adjust. So that's kind of how we got from here to there. Right now we live in Goodland, Kansas, about 17 miles from the Colorado border. We moved there from Denver after my husband died, and lived there with my daughter, son-in-law, and my two granddaughters. So we will be leaving Goodland to go to Calapan. We actually already have the tickets. The tickets are set for May 16th, and we'll be flying out for 2 years. I made a 2-year commitment. Pastor Jack had asked me to be a principal. I said, well, I've never been a principal, although education is my background. And he said, well, if you could come and help me get the school started, because his background is not education. He told me he'd even buy me an air conditioner for my classroom. And I'm like, okay, I'll take you up on that. So I just felt like, okay, 1 year. 1 year didn't seem like enough to me, and I was praying about it, because if anyone has any education background, going in and starting a school from ground up is a lot of work. I've never done it myself, but I've been in I've been in several Christian schools and charter schools and public schools, so I have a bit of a knowledge of the education system. And I homeschooled my first 4 children for a couple of years, as the boys will be homeschooled when we're there, just while we're getting the school started. And I decided a second year would probably be good, just to maybe have things smoothed out, so that Pastor Jack could hire a Filipino principal, maybe after I leave. So that's kind of my goal there, to get the school run. They want a very organized school that really educates the Filipino schools. They said that it's so crowded in Manila that some schools have like 3 sessions in a day because it's so crowded. It's not that crowded in Calapan, but the education is probably not a firm foundation. What I was told when I was there, that parents that want their children to go on to higher education actually hire tutors. So the kids are in school all day, then they're tutored for 2 or 3 hours every day so that they can pass the exams to get into university. So Jack and Tammy want a school that's above that. They have 4 children. They want a school that would be comparable to what their kids would be getting here in the States. So I'll go through some of these are the pictures from last summer. So Philippines Mission, that's the boys and I, still looking fairly fresh. We were at the San Francisco airport. We flew from Denver to San Francisco to Tokyo to Manila, which is a very long trip. And I just put that in there. We flew ANA Airlines, All Nippon Airlines. And if anybody has flown lately, you know that they don't feed you anything but maybe crackers and pretzels. But All Nippon fed us very well on the trip over to Tokyo. So it was very good food. And the Japanese airline was very, very comfortable, and they really looked after you. This is their sign, Welcome to Arise. They have a gate. They have 8 acres there. It was Pastor Jack said he got the land cheap, because it's actually the ocean is kind of over there. I mean, it's an island, so everywhere the ocean is near, but it was very low land boggy, marshy land that they've infilled a lot. And the lady there is, she's Joy Hanna. She was actually a missionary on her way back from Korea. She told me she's going to try to come this summer for a few months. So that's going to be exciting to see her again. And her their verse is, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." And that's exactly what they do, serve impoverished children and families in the Philippines. The children are not all technically orphans, and as in Uganda, they really don't like the homes called orphanages. They like them just to be called children's homes. So some of the parents are in the slums, which I have some pictures of, but they'll send a child or two, when they've made connections with Jack and Tammy, to the home to be better taken care of. This is the building that they have. It's an all-purpose building, and they use it for a church. They use it for children's activities. They have a kitchen in there. That's where they're fed. On the far end, there's a girls' home, and then over this way, there's a boys' home, so they're separated. And actually, right now, on this end of this building, they have broken ground for the school. So there should actually be a building. We weren't sure if there would be a building when we get there. But it looks like there will be. They've broken ground and have a few more funds to raise to get it built. Here's some of the children at lunch. They come home. Right now they're going to a neighborhood school, and one of the staff members walks them over to school, but they walk them back. They have like an hour and a half break for lunch, so they're bringing them back there. They had a couple incidences, you know, and these are children that have, you know, a lot of trauma in their background for various reasons of their early lifestyle. And Jack and Tammy were running into problems. They would pack a lunch for the kids to go to school, and the kids would eat it on the way to school. And then they would tell the principal and the teachers, "They don't feed us at Arise." So Jack spent several times going into the principals to assure them, "We do feed the children." They feed them very well. But they decided to eliminate some of that. They just said they have a long enough break. They just bring them back and feed them all lunch, and then they walk them all back to school. So that helped. A couple of the older kids, that boy on the end, his name is Rodrigo. He was the first child that they had in this home. When they first went on medical missions and were walking the streets of Manila, and they found him. He's 15 now. At that point, he was 6 years old, and he weighed 15 pounds. And they just did not have the heart to go off and leave him. They found a family that would care for him until they could get back over there, and that's what they did, and he's still with them. And you can see he's looking quite healthy, going to school, an opportunity for a good life. This is just a kind of a group picture. The police department came at a lunchtime one day and did a fluoridation clinic. They checked the kids' teeth and put fluoride on them. And Jack and Tammy have really good relationships with the community, different organizations, and like the police department, and they'll come and give them a lot of help. Here's one of the little girls getting her teeth checked. I don't remember the little Filipino girl's name. The little blonde obviously does not look too Filipino. Her name's Liberty Rose, and she's Jack and Tammy's youngest daughter. She's about 5 now. But their kids interact with the kids at Arise all the time. They do youth group there. They do church there. They do activities with them. So it's really a great place. They treat, there's like 39 children at the moment, but they treat those children like their family. A lot of the older kids are, Jack and Tammy live kind of down the road a little bit, and a lot of the kids walk over the older ones and are in and out of their home. So they're very open about caring for the kids like family. There's kids waiting in line, and there's Harold. He kind of sticks out a little bit there, the red shorts, blue shirt, and very light colored. And this, we call them the three amigos of Isaiah, and then Aldrin and Carlo. They had them together because they all wear glasses. And another funny thing is that boys with dark hair and glasses, they all call them Harry Harry Potter at the airport. The guy was helping us out, and so we walked by, and some guys are there talking, and they speak Tagalog there. There's a lot of dialects, but they're speaking Tagalog, and then our aide helped us, and he said, "They're laughing. They said he looks like Harry Potter." So, I guess, whatever. It's just a meal that was given. We had a group come and do like an outreach. They actually go to one of the colleges and they're taking event planning. So they came and they fed us like rice noodles and some greens and those rolls. I don't remember the Filipino name for them, but these happen to have like a meat filling. They put different fillings in them and they are pretty yummy. And then Jack asked me to share the first Sunday that I was there. So of course I'm speaking English. And then Jolene, who's one of the house parents and just really, really loves the kids. And I just gave a message on loving kindness because it was God's loving kindness that brought the children to this place. You know, some are given the chance and don't go, just like all of us are given the chance to come to Jesus or not. Some of them are given a chance to better their lives and have a stable place to live, and some of them take it up, and they're just really taught God's loving kindness. This is just a little interest. These are water buffalo. They weren't native there, but they're everywhere. They use them obviously for carts. I've seen them riding on them, and they're called carabao. And then they use them in this is a rice paddy. They grow rice everywhere, and of course they eat rice all the time. This is a village. We were across the river. It's not a village that we visited, but they're Munyans. There are 8 indigenous tribes there, and they have their own communities, their own mayor, their own schools, and they are very looked down upon by the rest of the population in the Philippines. And I think every island pretty much has some indigenous tribes, but there's 8 that are on the island of Mindoro. This is a street outside it's a very large, it's Payatas. It's a very large slum. On the right side of that wall, there's a dump. And lots of times on the news, people have heard about the dump in Manila. And the government is kind of ashamed of it. A few years back, before they had built the wall, there was actually a garbage slide, and it came down and buried a whole lot of the homes and killed people. And so they built this wall, and they have it gated. I'm sure the people that live in that slum probably climb over. I did not see the dump, but Jack said it's just massive. But that's the street in there. And there's just another view of the street. The transportation there is either bicycles, walking, scooters, and then one of the main things they just call them tricycles. They're like a motorbike with a sidecar. This is a street kind of on the edge of the slum, and Jack and Tammy had rented a house down. I just saw in their email yesterday, they're still kind of going back and forth. They wanted like a transition home, a shelter place where kids that want to can come from the slum and have a good place to hang out, play games, and maybe some of them would want to transition into their home. So that's one of their goals, and they're trying to decide whether to go forward with it right now with the starting of the school, or if this would be too much. So they're still kind of trying to pray about that. And there's Pastor Jack over there. This is actually inside one of the homes in the slum. We were not too far back in. Jack said the further you go, the worse the living conditions. He has a couple of mothers that he's mentoring, and so this was one of their homes. And he asked, you know, he's just trying to educate, show them God's love, God's will. And he asked one of the mothers, "What is your goal and dream for your son?" And she said, "To grow up and get a job on the garbage truck and make $10 a day." That's what they know. That's what they can see. So Jack and Tammy really want to widen the horizons of people and give them opportunities to get out of the situation. Most, Jalene's husband has 11 brothers and a father that still live in the slum. They've never left, so it's generational. And just another picture of Pastor Jack and Liberty and some of the kids. These are our two Ellies. Okay, or Ella. Ella on the left is Jack and Tammy's second daughter. She's about 9. And the Ella on the right is a Filipino girl that lives there in Piatas. And the Filipino Ellie is actually older than the American Ellie. And Ellie Fairweather, really, she's not that large of a girl. So Ella in pink, she's very, very small. This is Layla, that's their oldest daughter. She's 12, and that's just a street outside the edge of the slum there. And these are two of the little girls. They don't mind you taking their pictures. I don't know the girl on the left, her name, but it's just the two of them together. And actually, I don't know if they both came, but they came back with us. And Jack and Tammy are actually in Manila this year, so they have their home in Calapan and they have their home in Manila because Jack is going to school getting a PhD at the University of Philippines in sociology, and he wants to do research on children's homes and children's schools, especially run by missionaries, those that are successful versus those that are having trouble, to see what some of the keys are for the successful ones. But, you know, we are going to give these girls and other children like that future. That's what God has for each of us. He gives us a hope and a future. And if they don't hear about the Lord, they're not going to know. It's one of the reasons we want to go back, give them education. Jack and Tammy are committed for education, not just through elementary or high school, but beyond. One of their goals would be to have a home in Manila, because if they can pass the exams, they can go to university free. So they would like to have a place where they can actually live and stay and go to school. They have two women have gotten degrees in social work and are now licensed social workers. One is a teacher, and she's a licensed teacher, and then they have another one that has become a midwife, and she's a missionary midwife in the Philippines. So they're having success, and these are, you know, young people that have lived at their home and are going out and getting educated, knowing about the Lord, and being able to expand that circle. Because as we know, we're here, but we reach a circle, and if you can reach someone out here, they'll go to their circle, and that's their hope. And we really want to turn, you know, God has really turned our lives from, you know, ashes into praise and glory. So that's our mission there, to be there for 2 years, to be there as a principal. I mean, it's not easy travel. We fly into Manila. From Manila, unless you have a car there, but you hire a driver to take you to the port of Batangas. In Batangas, you get a ferry, and then it's about a couple-hour ferry ride over to the island of Mindoro. There's no way to get there except by water, and unless you're maybe wealthy and have a helicopter. There's no airstrip. There's nothing. So if they have to go to Manila, it's a big deal, and it's a very long trip. So that's a little bit of what we'll be doing, and just ask for prayers. And I have some cards laid out in the back. There's some prayer cards and response cards if anyone's interested. We do have a lot of upfront costs as we're going. We can't take that much. We'll take our clothes, mainly our clothes, and the boys may take a few toys, but we've got their shipping boxes that we can ship by 4X on a freighter, and they're 24 by 24 by 18 inches. We can do bigger, but it's $10 per inch, linear inch more. So We'll try to stick to that size, and that's $135 per box to get goods over there. And I am shipping like my classroom library in the district in Goodland, Kansas has given us some supplies that they're not using and just some different things. And then we'll just take, we don't need winter clothes there. That's a good thing. We'll just put all our clothes in our suitcases and head over. And then when we get there, we have to find a place to live because Jack and Tammy don't have housing. So we have to rent a place to live, which are most often unfurnished. So we'll have to get some sort of furniture, including stoves and refrigerators. So there's quite a bit of upfront costs to actually get started there. So I'd be happy to answer any questions after. And Pastor Eric, if you want to close in prayer, I'd be happy to let you do that.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.